Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS on KMOX. Happy Monday. That does not feel like a Monday. First thing I said to Chris and Amy when I came in today, I don't know why, but it just doesn't feel like it was a weekend.
Yeah.
And it was more of a weekend for me than I usually have. Went with Michael Kelly and some of his ne'er-do-well friends to the ball game. Yeah. I saw a very little ball game.
Were there hijinks?
I saw a lot of bar.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, that sounds right.
You need another day.
Is that what I need?
I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Maybe
right.
That's it.
They're like, well, Waits is gone.
We invited you to bar game, not ball game.
Yeah. Take me out to the bar game.
No, a lot of fun, but I'm not used to Sunday day drinking.
It is a lot of fun.
It seems like the best thing in the world when you're doing it. Yeah.
And then when you realize you got to get up early the next day, it sucks. There should be a buffer weekend day where you're forced to not do anything at all.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like Monday should
Which
be
a 3-day weekend. Every weekend would be perfect.
Yes, but you can't. The here's the caveat. You are not allowed to fill it with anything.
Yeah.
Like prohibition.
It's a mandatory day.
It's a mandatory day to do absolutely nothing.
It's like in baseball when they say you're not playing today no matter what.
Correct.
If you had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off, and Saturday was like
Rager day.
Like you can't do anything.
That's right. Well, no, Saturday would be the last day you could do something. Sunday you can't do anything.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
See, I'm going with the in the middle.
Oh.
But I get your logic.
It's almost like when you go on vacation, it is really stupid, and this is what I do every time. if you're gone, you know, for a week or whatever, and then you come back from the trip on, say, a Sunday or a Friday, or, you know, I guess a Sunday, and then you have not taken the Monday off, like to go straight from vacation to work the next day,
yep.
Unbearable.
If you can do it, you got to do it.
Take an extra day. Buffer day. That's my
advice to you. I almost never do that.
I don't either.
Take the buffer. You never take the buffer
I never
day?
Take
no,
a buffer
almost
day.
Almost never. Because I want to push the vacation to the last minute you can possibly push
buffer
it.
Buffer days are great.
That's why I need to be forced into the buffer day.
I see what you're saying.
It should be by law.
It
you can't do anything.
I'm going to lobby Congress on that.
I might take my first 2-week vacation in 25.
Ooh.
Never done that. I mean, just because I've never done it. It's one of those things that I don't have a specific plan. I doubt I would be somewhere for 2 weeks. That seems like an awful lot. But I've just never done it. So
I've done it. It's just called being unemployed.
Oh, yeah. I did that, too.
I've had a few months on the beach here and there. Yeah.
Were you getting paid?
For a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not all of it.
I don't even really count that as being unemployed.
No, I didn't either. There was like a two or three month window where like this is pretty sweet. Don't have to do anything. Still getting the paycheck.
Still getting a paycheck.
But then you know, like at the end of it, you're like, well, I got to find something soon.
I should save this money, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, there'd be a lot of things that would be great about being a big leaguer or even a big league coach. But like for the coaches, say for example, when they get fired, but they still get paid.
And then they go take a TV job and they get double dipping.
Come on.
Or what if you're one of these CEOs that runs a business into the ground, but you still get a $5 million parachute to leave? Get the hell out of here with
you
that.
Got to get one of those.
What about baseball players when your team goes, not only are we trading you, but we're paying $7 million
to get rid of you.
Yeah, to pay it to play against you.
Just so you leave.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care.
I would like to formally tell you if you want to pay $7 million, I'll hit the road.
Okay, thank you. I'm looking to know that.
You want
to
give me $7 million?
Well, they don't give
it to the player. They usually give it to the
team. Think about what Amy's saying here, that some trades, a team has to pay half of the salary to get rid of a player. Otherwise, that other team won't take him.
I know that because in Moneyball, Brad Pitt says that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who does he
the Yankees are paying whatever just to not play you.
Yeah.
That would not insult me at all.
You're still getting paid.
Yeah. I don't think would that bother you?
It probably would a little bit.
It would sting a little at first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, it also, in that scenario, normally you're going to the suckier team. But if you were going to a good team, if the good team's like, hey, we want to get better, but we can't afford to get better right now. But we want to. That would have a different vibe. I'd be like, all right, no, the good team wants me. I don't care about that other stuff. It all depends. But if it's like, yep, they're sending you the White Sox, we got to eat half of it to get rid of you, that would suck.
I can't think of a situation where I could be traded and it wouldn't like hurt my feeling, right?
Really?
I just feel like it would hurt my feelings.
Well, no, the other team wants you.
Yeah.
Or maybe, but why doesn't this team want me?
Right now that everyone hates me. And like you're terrible, we're firing you, and I'd be like, I get it. It's fine. Like would be fun.
I've seen this coming for quite some time.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised
been expecting
it didn't
this call.
Yeah, so if I listen, you for millions of dollars, my feelings are going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if I were a ball player.
No, some guys are. Some guys do take that stuff personally, though. I mean, like, even...
Yeah, well, they need to remember the real world. Again,
well,
you could hurt my feelings for $7 million.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Taylor Swift's feelings seem to be hurt a lot. She's making a lot of money. I mean, it's okay.
It's
that's nothing wrong with it, though.
The hurtest feelings
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's fine. She's rich, but no, I'm saying it's good. It's fine. There's no
it's so true.
I'm defending the feelings.
We can't... relate because we're not rich.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Ben Affleck looks pretty friggin' miserable.
He does.
Right?
He always has a stank face
he
on.
He really does, but then there are people saying that every time a photo's taken of him, it's just at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Does he just have resting Affleck face?
That he's in the middle of a conversation. It's not... It doesn't look as bad as the photo makes it look.
Yeah. Like, the one, I think that he said, like, the famous one of him, like,
With the cigarette?
He just realized he forgot his keys and had to go back in or something. And so they caught him right in the pause as he's like, ugh, keys.
Well, this is very dark, but it goes along with what we're talking about. Did you see the super yacht that was hit by a tornado?
Yeah. Yes. No.
So, like, a tech billionaire is missing, and one person's known to be gone.
But I do think, Kevin, when I think of a super yacht, I think of Bezos's yacht that looks like a cruise ship. This one actually had sails.
Mm.
So it was a massive, like,
sailboat.
183-foot sailboat.
Yeah, 84, yeah.
But, not
sorry, 84. You shortchanged them a foot. I won't allow that
which
to stand.
Which is probably like $80,000.
But think about that. If you would have seen that 2 hours before the tornado hit, you're like, I'll trade places with this person.
Mm-hmm.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
This guy has a perfect life. He has absolutely no worries, no complaints.
Just sailing off Italy.
Mother Nature.
Yeah.
That's why I wouldn't go on a sailboat.
Okay, we wrap that one up.
That's why.
No boots.
Well, if it was a regular boat, it would have gone down, too. I don't think the sail's the reason it went down.
Well, I think I'm just thinking, wouldn't it...
Couldn't you speed away if you had an engine?
A sailboat, like, when you look at it, I mean, it's a sailboat versus a massive cruise ship. Sinking a cruise ship would look different and would require a magnitude that a boat with a sail would not.
That's true.
I was thinking it was one of those
cruise
ship looking.
Like a Carnival cruise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what Bezos's ship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm afraid of?
Yes.
Rogue waves.
Oh.
Mm.
I thought you were
going to prison for a crime you didn't commit.
And small boats near big boats.
Next to big boats.
Well, think about that.
We both saw that video in the same weekend, too.
Yeah.
Of this guy in a small boat charging a big boat.
Like a cargo ship.
Yeah.
I'd have a heart attack.
And he was in like a little speedboat.
Well, we thought of you because we watched the movie Captain Phillips. Where pirates,
they
the
have small
Somali
boats
pirates
next
are in small boats next
that's,
to the big boat.
That is exactly why I couldn't be a Somali pirate.
It's the only thing holding
me back. I would not be able to go up next to the boat. And I am definitely not getting out that ladder.
The Somali boat with the Somali pirates on their boat, Ranji's there with his hat and glasses.
No, yeah. No.
He's just like Captain Ranji's the worst at this.
So bad with the ladder.
I wouldn't be turning if I'm steering the little dinghy, I'm not turning it away because they're firing at us. I'm turning away because we're getting real close to that big boat.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of that big boat.
Somali pirates. Ranji's big day with the Somali pirates.
I'm turning away. They're not even
movie,
shooting yet.
You expect me to rob that
throwing
boat?
Apples at you. You're like,
I gotta go.
If we could arrange to do a documentary with you, with them, would you do it?
With the Somali pirates?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
That new deckhand won't stop asking if we're going to have a rogue wave. I don't even think he really knows what it is.
I do know.
I told him, of course, we're going to prison for this if we get caught.
And who the hell is Caleb Williams?
He's going to save you.
Sure. Look, wish he'd be steering this boat, though.
No kidding. Look, I've seen Poseidon. I know what the rogue wave does.
Oh, that screwed me up.
Yeah.
Right?
So wait, the
giant
rogue wave
cruise ship capsizes.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere.
So a tsunami mid-ocean, basically?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. 50-100-foot waves just out of nowhere. Just going across the ocean, back and forth all the time.
The ocean is too big.
Agreed.
Know?
It really is.
That is true.
Yeah. There's so many things. I'm just not living my life. Well, I'm living a life.
Yeah.
I'm not living the middle of the ocean worried about rogue waves life. But
that's
there's
okay.
just so many things
that
like
might
that.
Be okay. It might be okay you're not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the conversation we had about jumping out of a plane. Mm-hmm. It happens all day, every day. People do it thousands and thousands of times a day. No one gets hurt or killed until someone does, but it's really rare. But it's just not worth the risk.
Yeah.
And even being on a really big, nice ship out in the middle of the ocean.
I know.
Especially if Ranji were on the boat with me, because yes. He'd be talking about it incessantly.
You'd be terrified, brother. Oh, I would make you worried.
Well, Stephen, here's the thing. Now, I would watch that reality show that Ranj and Dave go on a cruise together. It's just Ranj walking around.
And it would just be
a rogue wave.
It'd be ruined. Yeah. It's like if we did Below Deck Mediterranean, mm-hmm. You know, we'd ruin everyone's time.
I do say this, though. I love those videos that pop up where they play like the pirate song and it's showing the big ships out on the ocean with the huge waves. Those are so fascinating.
That always shows up in my timeline.
Yo.
Yeah, because you're Googling Rogue Wave 20 times.
Oh. Is that my fault?
He's out on Lake Michigan. You think there's a Rogue Wave out here?
This guy some Rogue Wave content.
Well,
do you guys want to do one of our Ask DGS questions with us?
Yes.
Yeah.
People? Okay, good. It's about Rogue Waves.
Oh, it is.
Have I got an answer for you?
That'd be amazing.
Are you super terrified of rogue waves?
Hey, DGS, if you could bring one dead historical figure or celebrity back to life and hang out with them for a day, you had a credit card with unlimited funds so you could do whatever you wanted, what are you doing with them and who are you doing it with? Have a good one.
Okay, so let's take a break. We'll come back, talk about that after the break. DGS on KMOX, if you're listening on 1120, check us out on 98.7 FM.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, DGS. We had an Ask DGS, which you can send us by going to the KMOX page on Odyssey.com, clicking on the microphone icon. You got 60 seconds to leave us a message. It can be timely, like something we're talking about right now, because we get them in real time and we'll put you on the air. Or it can be something like Ask DGS and kind of an evergreen. So this one was the classic. You can go back and reanimate anyone. Has to be a historical figure or an entertainer. Can't be grandpa. I guess you could. Anything you want, especially if grandpa was a famous politician.
Famous.
So there you go. I'll go first, and mine is the most obvious, literally, but it's what I would do. I would be George Washington, because I have so many questions. And it wouldn't just be like, did you cut down the apple tree? Like I would want to know why not women vote? Why 3/5 of a man? Why slavery? Why this? Why that? And he would give me his 18th century answers to it, and it would be fascinating. You know, I wouldn't be like calling him out like 250 years, you're really going to look stupid for these kinds of things. But just like to see him as a human being, because now he's just so George Washington, that's probably what I would do.
And to take that a step further to say, here's how it is now. Is right. This what you intended?
Yes. That's probably the best. If I could only ask one question, I would give him a look into the future. I would protect him from things like blenders and washer dryers. but yeah, I would say, here's the political landscape. Here's what it looks like. Here are the major points we've been through. Is this what you envisioned? That's a great one, Chris. Wheels, how about you?
Man, that's a good call. It might be in a similar idea, because I would love to just be like George Carlin, Robin Williams, because it would be a fun day, because you'd laugh and all that. But I feel like that's almost a cheat, because it's just too easy and it's very surface level. Yeah, so I was thinking about
what you want to do.
Yeah, I was thinking like a bit about the direction you were going, because the other person I was thinking of would just be fascinating to look back at where it was at the time in the world's history and talk to Julius Caesar.
Ooh.
I mean, essentially running the world,
mm-hmm.
because that's what, I mean, the known world, right? There was a lot of the world they didn't know about. But you had all this other stuff going on. I would love to know more. Plus, I'd love to scare him with technology.
Well, you wouldn't have to scare him with technology. You could just be there on the day they all turned on him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, let's relive this day.
Yeah, and right before, like, and Brutus, too.
He's like, what?
At two?
I'm sorry.
At two?
What, Brutus? What do you mean by that?
But man, I think that that would be because. I understanding
Kevin trying to warn Caesar.
Every time Rudy says something, Kevin rolls his eyes.
Well, we're bringing him back. They're already dead, and they're going back to being dead after
the
day.
That guy's a little shifty.
It's not about telling them anything. It's about learning from them.
What would be the equivalent, the modern equivalent of Et Tu, Brute? Would it be like, oh, come on, man. You?
Seriously, Brutus?
It would be, bro.
Why'd you do that? I thought we were friends.
Amy, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Kevin where it's like there are some more recent like 20th century characters. But I think if I'm looking at history and I don't want to be I feel like I sound cliched, but like honestly, like a Joseph in the Bible or Moses in the Bible or, you know, John, who was there at Jesus's death, like it would probably be somebody like that. Because, again, talking to John or Peter, who were there at the time of Christ and knew him and talked to him and were there when he was crucified, or Moses. Like, so what was it like going up and talking to, I mean, you were raised in the palace of the most powerful person in the world, you know, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and then also leading people in the desert. So it would probably be, honestly,
what if the person
Moses
were a huge disappointment?
I know.
You know, yeah. I mean, like George Washington could be
they're just ordinary
ill-mannered
dudes,
and Moses could just be in a bad mood.
Yeah, what if you met Caesar and he was just like some idiot?
Yeah,
he yeah. just happened to have
just
the right
happened to fall
stuff.
Into it.
Yeah,
I've seen the modern what they think he probably looked like.
Yeah,
he looked kind of stupid.
Yeah, he did. A little Beavis-ish.
Wait, Julius Caesar. He doesn't look like his statue. The
yeah,
little statue
a little bit.
Head.
Yeah, but they modernize it. You know,
yeah, they could recreate. Yeah.
He had a ball cap and like thick black rim
yeah.
glasses.
He looked like a
bro. Awesome.
Mm. How about you, Andrew?
I was going to say the George Washington thing but for more petty reasons, just because I'd like to find out all the stuff that he didn't intend and then like throw that in people's faces. Like, see, he never
he
even
told
said
me.
Anything about this.
He told me that was dumb.
But I maybe like one of the pharaohs, right? Ask him how they really did the pyramids. Find out, you know.
So that would be. Yeah, you're going to talk to the pharaoh.
Yeah, he has to run into each other.
That's a good one, dude.
Amy,
Andrew.
Yeah, tipping our hat.
Wouldn't you love to do that? Talk to some. Maybe even just talk to like the head engineer.
Yeah, just kind of get to know. Because
name's Bob.
Egyptian society was really fascinating to me, so I'd like to learn a little more about that, and then also
go back and tell him you're Ra.
Exactly, and then for what I would like to do with him, I would like to go to Six Flags with him, just because then I get to go.
Put him on the roller coasters.
Yeah, well, then I just get a free trip to Six Flags.
Roller coasters, just turkey legs would blow him away.
I'll leave him. Like, I'm just going to leave him at the. I'll be like, we'll meet up in a couple hours.
You'll leave him like Napoleon and Bill and Ted. He just kind of goes off and does his own
thing.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to go ride some rides.
Look, Kofu, I'll meet you at Miss Kitty's Saloon at 2 p.m.
Imagine putting those people on, like, an airplane. Mm. How great would that be?
Oh, God. I just wanted to hang out with Prince, so.
Yeah.
You guys had all these historical figures. I want to see what it's like to go out with Prince.
Well, yeah. That's some history. He's a big star.
What? He's a huge star.
I'm trying to support Ronj, and I'm getting
defensive. I've ever seen.
I know. I'm trying to support Ronj, and I'm getting the Amy treatment.
A2,
Amy. Oh, there it goes. Now you can talk. I have unpopular things to say about politics, but I think I speak for a lot of people. I've had, everyone has their journey, everyone has their arc when it comes to all things, personal, romantic, professional, politics, and I've certainly had all of mine, and several. Malibu Dave, as my kids call me. But here's how I'm feeling currently. Because I have a vote, the fact that I have a radio show doesn't mean I don't get to vote, doesn't mean I can't vote for whoever I want to, doesn't mean that I can't change my mind on this or that. But the way I look at it, this election is this. On one side, I have people I like whose policies are too far left for me. On the other side, I'm not even all that bothered by MAGA anymore. It's more just Donald Trump, the person. And it's not that he's mean and nasty. It's that I don't think he has much. And that is evidenced for me by 2015 and 16. He hit the ground running. He was a candidate we'd never seen before. I didn't watch The Apprentice. I didn't know Donald Trump at all. And so it was like, wow, this is amazing. And it was appointment television. And now all these years later, I realized that's all he has. And it really was one question that did it for me was at the National Association of Black Journalists when the journalists asked him about immunity for police officers. And it was clear to me, I'll say as a lawyer, and I don't mean that like as a lawyer, as a PhD, but just I know something about that, the topic of immunity. And he had no idea what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. So it is less that he's mean and he makes up funny names for people. And it's more that I am now seeing the true emperor has no clothes. And so it is an entire movement on one side that is institutional, like I want the institutions intact. I think Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and all those people want the institutions intact. I just think that they want them to do something that's a little farther left, a little more liberal than what I am comfortable with. So that's where I'm at on it. If it were any other candidate on the right, it would be a completely different set of facts for me. And I know that a lot of you out there, you are in it because of Donald Trump. It's the opposite of me. You love the right and you love the Republican Party and you love MAGA because of this human being. And I get that and I respect that. We just look at it differently. And the other thing I'm going to say that's probably going to be unpopular, and I'm even a little disappointed myself, but I'm just going to be really, really honest. I used to be a real financial hawk. That, well, I don't like this because you're spending too much money and the debt's going up and the money we're paying just to service the debt and this and trillions of dollars. But I have noticed something over the past few years, and that is this. And Amy, I'd like you to speak on this if you would. No one seems to care. The Republicans don't seem to care. They spend all of our money. They just spend it on different things. The people on the left, everyone gives it lip service. Even the liberals will say we're spending too much money, but no one really seems to care. And so I feel like, oh, I must be living, like if this were an analogy for a family, mom and dad are rich. I just didn't know it because no one seems to care when we go to Ground Round and spend $100. And so even the things I used to care very much about, being hawkish on money, I care less about now. And if we're going to spend money, I'd rather spend it on people than corporations. So I tend to line up more with the left. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But that's only because I've been disillusioned, disappointed by the fact that no one up there really seems to care about spending money.
Yeah, I mean, the idea right now of the fiscal conservative is dead with the rise of Donald Trump and populism and lots and lots and lots of spending. And Donald Trump has talked about tariffs and how that's a tax on other countries. No, it's not. It's going to raise prices here. So you're going to have more higher prices to continuing if he's going to slap all these tariffs in trade. And so as far as domestic spending, no, there's not an appetite. There's not an appetite to cut back significantly on domestic spending. You could say that both left and right want to spend. The left wants to spend way more, especially on, you know, green initiatives. When we look at
and social programs.
And well, yeah, I didn't even get to that yet because I was going to say on green initiatives, you have trillions of dollars proposed. You have spending on quote unquote forgiving student loans, but then also on social programs that Republicans want to spend on social programs too. We've seen it, but the $3 trillion that was spent, Democrats initially proposed something that was like upwards would have been $6 trillion, right? So it's like spending a lot or spending more. That's what we're looking at. When it comes to more economic policies domestically, we know Kamala Harris had just proposed some of her ideas to curb price gouging, which is a much bigger story because I have definitely extreme heavy suspicion that a politician will know how not just the market work, but how markets work more than dairy farmers and more than those who are in production of cars and parts and supply issues. And I do think a free market eventually works itself out. But as far as spending goes, we are at two parties that don't have any real inclination to cut back, and a lot of very real economists who say that, well, debt doesn't matter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a pretend number. It's never going to come back and bite us. There are those who say, no, it will. It's going to come back to bite us. Like Nikki Haley, we saw that, right? She was the lone Republican, the lone little spark that said, all of this debt is going to hurt us, and you especially don't want to be beholden to geopolitical adversaries, yeah, which we are.
And it's too bad. This is the last thing I'm going to say about Trump, but I just mean it. It's too bad that it's not Nikki Haley versus Kamala Harris, because that would be a policy debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, I would be really, really, I wouldn't be tuning into the debates just to see if Biden looked a million years old or if Trump was going to say something ridiculous. I would be tuning in to hear their arguments to make up my mind. That would be wonderful.
Well, that would be a great debate.
This is how I wonder how it's going to go when they finally do debate, because let's say she is wanting to focus on policy. Is that going to be difficult? If that's just not his style when he debates. He's not really talking about policy. Eventually, it turns into mudslinging. So can you have an actual debate with a person who just wants to fling poo?
I feel like I know exactly what it's going to be. Yeah, I mean, she's going to be talking policy, or at least trying to talk policy. He can't, at least that's my opinion. And so he will do his smart guy version of, I'm talking about policy, but I'm really not. I'm just talking about how horrible you are and how horrible everything is. And we're, you know, a dying nation and so forth and so on. But then you can only do, if it's a 90-minute debate, you can only do that so many times. And so that's when it's going to get goofy.
Well, right, because when he speaks in absolutes, right? This was the worst. Biden was the worst president ever.
I could solve it in 24 hours.
Yes. And then when he was president, it was the best economy ever. And it's kind of like fact-checking Peter Pan. How do you fact-check Peter Pan? You're like, it's fiction?
Let's think about it this way. Tactically, if you're trying to win a debate, how do you just go where he is? I mean, do you follow his lead on that?
Can.
I mean, how does she go about doing it? If that's what he wants? And maybe, you know what? Maybe he does decide on that day that, hey, I'm gonna try to talk policy here.
If it were okay, remember when the last one we had with Biden, and I said that Trump actually did him a favor, because Trump,
I agree with you,
Trump could have ended him. Mm-hmm. He could have right there said, like, I can't go on with this debate because this guy is losing his marbles. I think that Kamala could do the same thing to him. If she wanted to really be, means the wrong word because it's politics, but I think she could say things like, I don't think you even understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for you to demonstrate for the American people that you have even an inkling of the understanding of this policy, and I don't think he could. That would be her version of the nuke.
Yeah. That's the only way to fight somebody that tries to take the bully pulpit, is to put them on the spot and say, okay, well, then explain this if you know it. And I don't know that it works. You never know, but you got to try it that way. On that bigger scale, I don't think any, and when I say anyone, I don't mean any individual human beings. I mean neither of the major parties is looking out for us. Everybody's got big money in their pockets. Everybody's getting big money from somebody. And in most cases, the biggest money is giving to both parties anyway.
So as if to say, hey, don't forget about me.
Right.
When you get elected,
that's
don't
exactly
forget about
right.
me.
Yeah. And I mean, listen to Donald Trump's own comments. He talked about he gave money to Hillary Clinton back in the day. He gave money to Kamala Harris because that's what rich people do. They want to make sure that they're still ingratiated. Mm-hmm. And individuals, corporations, industries, lobbyists, I don't think either party cares about us. I don't think they do. I think all they care about is continuing to get elected to the seats that they hold. And I think maybe ideologically somewhere in the back of their minds, they're like, I think this will be better for people. But it's not better for us. The 330 normies, 330 million normies.
Do they think they're telling the truth?
I think a lot of them do. I think a lot of them think they're doing what's best. But the only way you can do what's best for us is to take money out of it. But well, they will that, not because that's how they stay in their spots.
Well, and I think some of them, like, they do care, quote unquote, care for the normies. But again, like you said, they also have to appease big money. And then they also like, well, I got to stay in office. So I got to appease this guy, this corporation, so that I can still
got to play the game.
I can play the game. And Bill Gates. So Mark Zuckerberg, like, he idolized Bill Gates, and Bill Gates kind of figured out what happened if you build something really big and somewhat monopolistic, like Microsoft at the beginning, right? He got slapped by the government a bit. And
you sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, there it goes. Now you can talk. Whew. I have unpopular things to say about politics, but I think I speak for a lot of people. I've had, everyone has their journey, everyone has their arc when it comes to all things, personal, romantic, professional, politics, and I've certainly had all of mine, and several. Malibu Dave, as my kids call me. But here's how I'm feeling currently. Because I have a vote, the fact that I have a radio show doesn't mean I don't get to vote, doesn't mean I can't vote for whoever I want to, doesn't mean that I can't change my mind on this or that, but the way I look at it, this election is this. On one side, I have people I like whose policies are too far left for me. On the other side, I'm not even all that bothered by MAGA anymore. It's more just Donald Trump, the person. And it's not that he's mean and nasty. It's that I don't think he has much. And that is evidenced for me by 2015 and 16. He hit the ground running. He was a candidate we'd never seen before. I didn't watch The Apprentice. I didn't know Donald Trump at all. And so it was like, wow, this is amazing. And it was appointment television. And now all these years later, I realize that's all he has. And it really was one question that did it for me was at the National Association of Black Journalists when the journalist asked him about immunity for police officers. And it was clear to me, I'll say as a lawyer, and I don't mean that like as a lawyer, as a PhD, but just I know something about that, the topic of immunity. And he had no idea what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. So it is less that he's mean and he makes up funny names for people. And it's more that I am now seeing the true emperor has no clothes. And so it is an entire movement on one side that is institutional, like I want the institutions intact. I think Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and all those people want the institutions intact. I just think that they want them to do something that's a little farther left, a little more liberal than what I am comfortable with. So that's where I'm at on it. If it were any other candidate on the right, it would be a completely different set of facts for me. And I know that a lot of you out there, you are in it because of Donald Trump. It's the opposite of me. You love the right and you love the Republican Party and you love MAGA because of this human being. And I get that and I respect that. We just look at it differently. And the other thing I'm going to say that's probably going to be unpopular, and I'm even a little disappointed in myself, but I'm just going to be really, really honest. I used to be a real financial hawk. That I don't like this because you're spending too much money and the debt's going up and the money we're paying just to service the debt and this and trillions of dollars. But I have noticed something over the past few years, and that is this. And Amy, I'd like you to speak on this if you would. No one seems to care. The Republicans don't seem to care. They spend all of our money. They just spend it on different things. The people on the left, everyone gives it lip service. Even the liberals will say we're spending too much money, but no one really seems to care. And so I feel like, oh, I must be living It's like if this were an analogy for a family, mom and dad are rich. I just didn't know it because no one seems to care when we go to Ground Round and spend $100. And so even the things I used to care very much about, being hawkish on money, I care less about now. And if we're going to spend money, I'd rather spend it on people than corporations. So I tend to line up more with the left. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But that's only because I've been disillusioned, disappointed by the fact that no one up there really seems to care about spending money.
Yeah, I mean, the idea right now of the fiscal conservative is dead with the rise of Donald Trump and populism and lots of spending. And Donald Trump has talked about tariffs and how that's a tax on other countries. No, it's not. It's going to raise prices here. So you're going to have more higher prices to continuing if he's going to slap all these tariffs in trade. And so as far as domestic spending, no, there's not an appetite. There's not an appetite to cut back significantly on domestic spending. You could say that both left and right want to spend. The left wants to spend way more, especially on, you know, green initiatives. When we look at
and social programs.
And well, yeah, I didn't even get to that yet because I was going to say on green initiatives, you have trillions of dollars proposed. You have spending on quote unquote forgiving student loans, but then also on social programs that Republicans want to spend on social programs too. We've seen it, but the $3 trillion that was spent, I think the Democrats initially proposed something that was like upwards would have been $6 trillion, right? So it's like spending a lot or spending more. That's what we're looking at. When it comes to more economic policies domestically, we know Kamala Harris had just proposed some of her ideas to curb price gouging, which is a much bigger story because I have definitely extreme heavy suspicion that a politician will know how not just the market work, but how markets work more than dairy farmers and more than those who are in production of cars and parts and supply issues. And I do think a free market eventually works itself out. But as far as spending goes, we are at two parties that don't have any real inclination to cut back, and a lot of very real economists who say that, well, debt doesn't matter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a pretend number. It's never going to come back and bite us. There are those who say, no, it will. It's going to come back to bite us. Like Nikki Haley, we saw that, right? She was the lone Republican, the lone little spark that said, all of this debt is going to hurt us. And you especially don't want to be beholden to geopolitical adversaries, yeah, which we are.
And it's too bad. This is the last thing I'm going to say about Trump, but I just mean it. It's too bad that it's not Nikki Haley versus Kamala Harris, because that would be a policy debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, I would be really, really, I wouldn't be tuning into the debates just to see if Biden looked a million years old or if Trump was going to say something ridiculous. I would be tuning in to hear their arguments to make up my mind. That would be wonderful.
Well, that would be a great debate.
This is how I wonder how it's going to go when they finally do debate, because let's say she is wanting to focus on policy. Is that going to be difficult? If that's just not his style when he debates. He's not really talking about policy. Eventually, it turns into mudslinging. So can you have an actual debate with a person who just wants to fling poo?
I feel like I know exactly what it's going to be. Yeah. I mean, she's going to be talking policy, or at least trying to talk policy. He can't. At least that's my opinion. And so he will do his smart guy version of, I'm talking about policy, but I'm really not. I'm just talking about how horrible you are and how horrible everything is. And we're, you know, a dying nation and so forth and so on. But then you can only do, if it's a 90 minute debate, you can only do that so many times. And so that's when it's going to get goofy.
Well, right. Because when he speaks in absolutes, right? This was the worst. Biden was the worst president ever.
I could solve it in 24 hours.
Yes. And then when he was president, it was the best economy ever. And it's kind of like fact-checking Peter Pan. Like, well, how do you fact-check Peter Pan? You're like, it's fiction?
Let's think about it this way. Tactically, if you're trying to win a debate, how do you just go where he is? I mean, do you follow his lead on that?
Can.
I mean, how does she go about doing if that's what he wants? And maybe, you know what? Maybe he does decide on that day that, hey, I'm gonna try to talk policy here.
If it were okay, remember when the last one we had with Biden, and I said that Trump actually did him a favor because
I agree with you.
Trump could have ended him. Mm-hmm. He could have right there said, like, I can't go on with this debate because this guy is losing his marbles. I think that Kamala could do the same thing to him. If she wanted to really be, means the wrong word because it's politics, but I think she could say things like, I don't think you even understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for you to demonstrate for the American people that you have even an inkling of the understanding of this policy, and I don't think he could. That would be her version of the nuke.
Yeah. That's the only way to fight somebody that tries to take the bully pulpit. Is to put them on the spot and say, okay, well, then explain this if you know it. And I don't know that it works. You never know, but you got to try it that way. On that bigger scale, I don't think any, and when I say anyone, I don't mean any individual human beings. I mean neither of the major parties is looking out for us. Everybody's got big money in their pockets. Everybody's getting big money from somebody. And in most cases, the biggest money is giving to both parties anyway.
As if to say, hey, don't forget about me.
Right.
When you get elected,
that's
don't
exactly
forget about
right.
me.
Yeah. And I mean, listen to Donald Trump's own comments. He talked about he gave money to Hillary Clinton back in the day. He gave money to Kamala Harris because that's what rich people do. They want to make sure that they're still ingratiated. Mm-hmm. And individuals, corporations, industries, lobbyists, I don't think either party cares about us. I don't think they do. I think all they care about is continuing to get elected to the seats that they hold. And I think maybe ideologically somewhere in the back of their minds, they're like, I think this will be better for people. But it's not better for us. The day, you know, the 330 normies,
they,
330 million
do they
normies.
Do think they're telling the truth?
I think a lot of them do. I think a lot of them think they're doing what's best. But the only way you can do what's best for us is to take money out of it. But well, they will not because that's how they stay in their spots.
Well, and I think some of them, like, they do care, quote unquote, care for the normies. But again, like you said, they also have to appease big money. And then they also like, well, I got to stay in office. So I got to appease this guy, this corporation, so that I can still
got to play the game.
I can play the game. And Bill Gates. So Mark Zuckerberg, like, he idolized Bill Gates, and Bill Gates kind of figured out what happened if you build something really big and somewhat monopolistic like Microsoft at the beginning. Right. He got slapped by the government a bit. And so when he met Mark Zuckerberg for the first time and Zuckerberg was just really starting to get big, Bill Gates said his very first piece of advice was get an office in Washington and glad hand everybody. So Zuckerberg he's in with the Dems and he's in with the Republicans because that's how it works. And so both parties are beholden to big companies.
They don't have a choice.
And to be honest, it's probably always been this way.
Yeah.
I mean, money has always run the show. I don't really care where or what point in history.
Mm-hmm.
But until one party or one group of people decides they're going to diminish the input of people that are super wealthy, they're not looking out for us.
Well, keeping with sort of controversial topics and money, a new study came out that says that the average CEO, and remember that there are CEOs like Mark Zuckerberg, then there are CEOs of like a $1 million company, so it's not monolithic, but the average CEO makes 268 times what their average employed worker does. So the obvious question is, are they worth it? Are they worth it sometimes? Is it just a mathematical equation? Is it possible to be worth 268 times what your average worker is? I can imagine that, I guess.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can confidently. I mean, 268 times is a lot.
I mean, if you're a guy who's lifting boxes and you're making $20 an hour and the CEO came up with the vision for the company and is making all the deals in the Philippines and is doing all the, you know, genius marketing, then he's worth multiple times what that guy is. Then it's just a matter of how many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, but there are a lot of CEOs that are not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Making deals would be middle to upper management, maybe not necessarily CEO, right? And then coming up with the vision, well, that's more of like, I would say, argue it's a founder thing, which isn't necessarily the CEO.
Sold a bill of goods on CEO, on the whole C-suite thing, you know, that It's almost the way that when JFK became president, it became Camelot. And since then, the office of president has been the cult of personality. That at some point, maybe Gordon Gekko, the whole CEO thing became a thing that maybe it should not have.
Were they revered to the point where we treat them like they're just better than the rest of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, keeping with sort of controversial topics and money, a new study came out that says that the average CEO, and remember that there are CEOs like Mark Zuckerberg, then there are CEOs of like a $1 million company, so it's not monolithic, but the average CEO makes 268 times what their average employed worker does. So the obvious question is, are they worth it? Are they worth it sometimes? Is it just a mathematical equation? Is it possible to be worth 268 times what your average worker is? I can imagine that, I guess.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can confidently. I mean, 268 times is a lot.
I mean, if you're a guy who's lifting boxes and you're making $20 an hour, and the CEO came up with the vision for the company and is making all the deals in the Philippines and is doing all the, you know, genius marketing, then he's worth multiple times what that guy is. Then it's just a matter of how many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, but there are a lot of CEOs that are not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Making deals would be middle to upper management, maybe not necessarily CEO, right? And then coming up with the vision, well, that's more of like, I would say, argue it's a founder thing, which isn't necessarily the CEO.
Sold a bill of goods on CEO, on the whole C-suite thing, you know, that it's almost the way that when JFK became president, it became Camelot. And since then, the office of president has been the cult of personality. That at some point, maybe Gordon Gekko, the whole CEO thing became a thing that maybe it should not have.
Were they revered to the point where we treat them like they're just better than the rest of us?
Yeah.
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 In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!